Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 463 for January 25th, 2014. Coming up in a few minutes.
When I first started in the lab looking at new distillate being filled into cask, I'm now at the Royal Salute seeing these whiskies now coming out of cask and working with them to blend them. And they, for me, it's just a great pleasure to see, the life of the whiskey.
Chivas Brothers master blender Colin Scott is celebrating two anniversaries these days. He just marked his 40th anniversary in the whiskey business, and 2014 is his 25th year as the master blender for Chivas Regal and Royal Salute whiskeys. More with Colin Scott later on Whiskey Cast In Depth. I'll also have the calendar of events, your voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, my tasting notes for a collaboration between chef and blender, all on this week's Whiskey Cast.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Early this week, there were reports out of India that Suntory had offered to buy up all of White & Mackay from United Spirits for just under $1 billion. That's on top of the $16 billion Suntory will pay for Beam, but Suntory's executives are denying the report. Meanwhile, India's Supreme Court has delayed a hearing on the appeal from United Spirits and Diageo over a regional court's ruling blocking Diageo's purchase of shares in United Spirits. The hearing is now set for January 31st. The state court in Karnataka overturned a lower court ruling that allowed the sale of about 7% of USL's stock to Diageo over the objections of creditors. Those shares had been pledged as collateral for loans to Vijay Mallya's UB Holdings and Kingfisher Airlines. Diageo's agreement with United Spirits still gives it operational control over the company, but if the Karnataka ruling is upheld, its ownership stake in USL will fall to about 18%. Other court news this week. The owners of Loch Lomond Distillery in Scotland have been fined £12,000, or about $19,800, for a 2011 environmental accident at the company's bottling plant. The Glen Katrine bonded warehouse at Katrine was the site of a spill into the River Aire when a mistake caused whiskey from a tanker truck to be pumped into a full tank, which overflowed and sent about 5,000 liters of cask-strength whiskey into the River Aire. Scottish Environmental Protection Agency officials and local prosecutors charged the company with breaking water protection regulations. SEPA's David Wallace told The Scotsman that the company has now taken steps to prevent a similar incident in the future. Company officials declined to comment on the ruling. In other news, ticket sales for May's Kentucky Bourbon Affair are going strong. The Kentucky Distillers Association said this week that all 50 golden tickets have been sold at $1,350 apiece. The tickets come with first crack at 5 of the 8 distillery experiences available during the weekend, which is the most any one person can get in because of scheduling and travel between the distilleries. They also include access to special opening and closing events, along with evening parties and other benefits. Tickets for individual distillery experiences and other Bourbon Affair events will begin soon. The Bourbon Affair is set for May 14th through the 18th. The KDA also reported a record number of visitors to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail during 2013, with a 12% gain in visitors to the heritage distilleries that make up the main Bourbon Trail stops. Nearly 572,000 people visited the 8 distillery stops, including the new Evan Williams Bourbon Experience that opened in Louisville in November. Nearly 62,000 people visited the 8 distilleries that make up the Bourbon Trail's Craft Tour, which was in its first full year of operation during 2013. Just a quick update now on last weekend's report about the Macallan M auction in Hong Kong that shattered the world record for a whiskey sold at auction. In episode 462, the second one from last week, I reported the sale price as $631,850 based on a Bloomberg News report. The McAllen and Sotheby's issued a news release early this week that put the official sale price at $628,000. The difference was apparently based on which exchange rate one uses to calculate the sale price from Hong Kong's dollar to the U.S. dollar. The $628,000 figure is the one that will be submitted to Guinness for certification as a new world record. Last week, we heard about plans to expand Benriach's offerings in the U.S. market with four new expressions that previously had only been available in other markets. Now, Anchor Distilling is bringing in two more Glendronachs, a 15-year-old tawny port-finished malt, and the Glendronach Cask Strength Batch No. 2. Last weekend, Quebec's Sortilège whiskies won four medals at the Canadian Whiskey Awards, and now the maple-flavored whiskey liqueurs will be exported into the U.S. Sydney Frank Importing has signed a deal to become the exclusive importer for Sortilège, which combines Canadian maple syrup with Canadian rye whiskey. Fred Noe's garage at his house on Whiskey Row in Bardstown got a little sprucing up last summer. The crew from DIY Network's show Man Caves renovated the garage. I got to see it last fall during the Kentucky Bourbon Festival at Fred's annual barbecue, but they weren't allowing any photos that night. That's because the Man Caves episode featuring Fred's garage premiered on Friday night, and they wanted to keep the results a surprise. You may be able to watch the episode through the DIY Network's website, depending on where you live. There's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. And finally, The Scotsman is reporting this weekend on another whiskey-related TV project. Japan's NHK Network is producing a daytime drama that will tell the story of Masataka Taketsuru and his Scottish wife, Rita. Of course, Taketsuru is revered as the father of Japanese whiskey. He was sent by Suntory to Scotland to learn the art of whiskey making, and while he was studying at Glasgow University, he rented a room from Rita's family. They fell in love, got married in 1920, and she followed him back to Japan. After Suntory rejected his advice on where to build its distilleries, he quit and founded what would later become Nikko Whiskey. They're buried together on a hill near the Yoichi Distillery, and Rita Taketsuru has become a cult figure among some Japanese whiskey fans. NHK's show Masan is scheduled to air later this year. You can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at WhiskeyCast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie, introducing Glenmorangie Companta, the fifth release in the Glenmorangie Private Edition range, a complex maturation in both Burgundy and Côte de Rhône French red wine barriques. Find out more at glenmorangie.com.
Hope you've got a fast internet connection because there are two new WhiskeyCast HD episodes out, parts 1 and 2 of my interview with Richard Patterson last weekend at the Victoria Whiskey Festival. In part 1, he talks about his partnership with Chef Daniel Balloud for a special expression of the Delmore, and in part 2, he answers questions submitted by WhiskeyCast community members. You'll find both episodes on the WhiskeyCast HD page at WhiskeyCast.com, along with YouTube and iTunes. This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Johnny Walker, and while you'll have to watch the video to see all of Richard's answers to your questions, there was one question that had Richard doing something I've never seen him do before, and you're really going to need to see the video for this one.
Now, Lavinia had a follow-up question. This one's a bit cheekier. Who would play you in the movie The Nose? Who plays Richard Patterson?
Who would play me?
There was a suggestion Charlie McClane could do it. Who should play that role?
I'm not very sure. I really don't know. I just hope whoever does it, they put the same kind of dedication and passion that I like to think that I do, because it is a very competitive world. But as long as it's amusing and as long as we can entertain, but as long as we can look at Scotch in the right manner, that's what it's all about.
Lavinia posted later on our Facebook page that it was surprising to see him blush since she thought Richard was a blue nose. Magnus Hillman's comment, that was brilliant. And we also had other comments on both parts of the interview with Richard. Dave Green says he still cringes when he sees that whiskey hit the floor. As I'm recording this week's episode, it's snowing again. We've had 14 to 15 inches of snow since I got back from Victoria Monday night. And by the way, Victoria, Canada, was positively balmy compared to the cold weather here at home. So I asked our Facebook followers, what whiskey goes best with a foot of snow? Several of you suggested the obvious, Glenfiddich's Snow Phoenix or the Snow Grouse blend from the famous grouse. John Ross in Virginia thought Monkey Shoulder would be a logical choice after shoveling a foot of snow. And our buddy Matt Wooler from Australia, where it's the middle of a very hot summer, posted this. I whittled away 1 liter of Laphroaig Quarter Cask last week while snowboarding 3 meters of powder snow in Japan. But the most intriguing suggestion came from Nicholas Gusta Gustafsson in Finland, who recommended Tirinpeli's Kaski single malt whiskey from Finland. I have to admit I wasn't expecting that one. I'll have to start looking for a bottle. And finally, I heard from John Birkbeck of the South Wales Whiskey Interest Group this week. He had asked for some advice on visiting distilleries in California before a recent vacation, but this time he had a suggestion for our calendar of events. Here's what he said. Not sure if the event is too small, but my group are running our first tasting evening at the end of this month. To celebrate the start of the Rugby Six Nations tournament, I'm running a tasting evening with expressions from each of the countries. Ireland, England, Scotland, France, Italy, and of course, Wales. I understand if it's a little small, but I thought I might as well ask. No, John, it's not too small. There's no event, in fact, that's too small for our calendar of events. And if your whiskey club has a website and is looking for like-minded whiskey lovers in your area, there's a page just for whiskey clubs in the resources section at whiskeycast.com. We'll be more than glad to add a link to your club's website. You can always post your club's information, along with your questions and suggestions, on the Your Voice page at whiskeycast.com. Or you can email me directly. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Johnny Walker on the web at johnnywalker.com. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. Whiskey Life Belgium is this coming weekend in Spa, along with the Linköping's Whiskey Expo in Sweden and the Bourbon Classic in Louisville. The Brandy Library has a rye whiskey spirit school coming up on February 4th. Villa Kantor in Limburg, Germany has an Isla Whiskies tasting on the 7th. And Milroy's of Soho in London has a bootleggers and bourbon night planned for February 12th. Reserve 101 in Houston still has a few seats left for its Glenmorangie Valentine's Day dinner on the 14th. And Woodford Reserve has a Flavors of Woodford class on whiskey and chocolate on the 15th. Those are just some of the more than 250 different events on the calendar at whiskeycast.com. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
Whiskeycast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Liam O'Leary, distiller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
My wife, she has a cousin, a priest, up in Ballyfermot in Dublin. And he comes down every year, especially if Cocker in the All-Ireland final, you know. He makes it his business every year to come down for, by the way, to watch the match. But I know he comes down because he gets a couple of bottles of Redbreast off me every year, you know. And we have a few Redbreasts, and we'd hopefully Cocker will be in the All-Ireland final like they were last year. And he's talking about coming again this year anyway, because I think the priests like their red breast anyway, nice and smooth and you know, not too harsh. It's a lovely smooth whiskey.
Red breast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know red breast.
Colin Scott started out as a trainee at the Glenlivet Distillers in 1973. Of course, the Glenlivet later became part of Chivas Brothers, and like his father and grandfather, Colin rose up through the industry. In 1989, he took over for the legendary Jimmy Lang as the master blender for both Chivas Regal and Royal Salute, and built up the range of both blends dramatically. Colin is marking his 25th year as master blender this year. His latest release is the Royal Salute World Polo 21-year-old blend, which emphasizes Royal Salute's ties to the professional polo world. And that's where we started our conversation for this week's WhiskeyCast In Depth.
What went into creating this version of Royal Salute? Because I know you use some very unique versions for that one, right?
The concept, because Royal Salute is now very involved with world polo right across the globe, it was an opportunity we felt to create something specifically and four polo, the horse polo events around the world. So we were asked to create a 21-year-old blend because all royal salutes are aged more than 21. And it is actually a limited edition because what we've done, we've bottled one batch and that'll be available pretty much for about a year. And it gives us the opportunity to present and have this Royal Salute Polo whiskey available at these events. So it gives a little, it's going to give a, you know, it's a nice little hook for Royal Salute. It ups the profile. And the great thing about Royal Salute and I being totally, not synonymous, but we're very, very big sponsors of horse polo around the world. You know, this is a luxury sport. They call it the sport of kings and the king of sports. And so Royal Salute, because it's a luxury brand, top of the range, prestige luxury brand, they tie in as a great partnership together. So to have Royal Salute on the polo fields is just magnificent. But to go back to the whiskey, this is very much I blended in the style, in the Royal Salute style, and that style is all about powerful flavours, but yet there's a nice sort of, there's a great sort of smoothness about it. And I think the inspiration comes from the polo ponies, which, because my father-in-law, he used to play polo. So I've been involved and worked with polo ponies, and they are, to me, there's a great power in there, yet there's a wonderful gentleness and agility and gracefulness about them. So behind the blend, what we're trying to present is something that's powerful, but yet very graceful and in its smoothness and refined to sort of, you know, so when you sip it, you can sort of think polo ponies in your mind. You know, that's the link from our point of view from the blending side.
Now, when you're creating the whiskeys like this, obviously you're having some experience now with celebrating your 40th anniversary. You're working with a lot of the whiskeys that you helped lay down back in the day.
Well, that's right.
So, unlike a lot of blenders, you actually have some experience. You were around when a lot of these whiskeys were being put down back in the day. And does that give you any more experience than, or give you any better feel for these whiskeys now that you've worked with them for 40 years?
Well, I mean, I became master blender in 1989, which is 25 years ago now. And so with Royal Salute being a 21-year-old blend, a lot of the whiskies, when I first started in the lab looking at new distillate being filled into cask, I'm now for Royal Salute seeing these whiskies now coming out of cask and working with them to blend them. And so for me, it's just a great pleasure to have seen, you know, the life of the whiskey from birth to, well, rebirth, I suppose. You don't want to call it death, because it's a rebirth as it goes into the Royal Salute and then goes off for people to thoroughly enjoy. So, yeah, it is. And I think the great thing about blending is that when working with these whiskies, we're working with nature. And so it's not a case of, you know, you learn A to Z and that's it. You're actually learning something new pretty much every week, every month, because it is nature.
It keeps you fresh, right?
And we don't, you know, we have control, but we don't have finite control, because, you know, when we put the spirit, you know, when that is distilled, you know, why, you know, how is it that from cereal, water and yeast that you get 100 different whiskies from 100 different distilleries? It's quite phenomenal, but for us it's great because that gives us a wonderful palette or array of flavors to select and blend. So I think, you know, that's the beauty of Scotch, and the strength of Scotch is it's a huge array of flavors across the whole spectrum, across all the various malt and grain distillates.
Now, you're primarily known for your work with Strathila in terms of blending stocks, but is there another whiskey that you have a favorite that you love to use in blends?
Yeah, there's a lot of friends in blending. One of the greatest at our stable is Longmorn from down near Elgin.
What makes that one unique?
It's a very gentle whiskey. You know, it's sort of medium. It's medium bodied. It's not light. It's a good medium body, but it's beautifully floral and sweet and a little bit of fruitiness. And somehow it's just a wonderful. It's a pleasure to work with.
Now, last year you came up with a very unique version of Royal Salute for the Queen's coronation anniversary, right?
Yeah, we did last year, 2013, we did the Royal Salute Diamond Tribute. And then we actually did another one for the 60th anniversary of her Ascension.
That was the one 2 years ago. That was one you only did the 60.
Oh, it was 2 years ago. And then last year we introduced Royal Salute Diamond Tribute, which will be an ongoing product. It wasn't Diamond. I'm trying to think what the name of the one beforehand. This was to celebrate the one we created last year. We celebrated the 60th anniversary of the birth of Royal Salute, as well as the 60th anniversary of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, for which the first Royal Salute in 1953 was created.
And you weren't around for that one, obviously, but
I was around in 53, but I was a bit young. I was well under the age of. I was drinking milk.
But the
I was only three in 1953.
But the one 2 years ago to celebrate her ascension to the throne. That was the very very rare, very limited version. I believe there were only 60 bottles or decanters made.
No.
Which one was the one that was the really exclusive version that you guys?
No, that's the tribute to honor.
Okay, the tribute to honor. That's the one I was thinking of.
That's the one where there are only 21 produced, and they've got 413 black and white diamonds of 23 carats.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, and that's $200,000.
Is that the highlight of your career?
One of them. It's a phenomenal. Hey, it's a phenomenal whiskey. It was a 45-year-old blend of Royal Salute. So I think it's difficult to put one as a total highlight because Royal Salute, when I've been involved with a 40-year-old, the 50-year-old in 2003 was a terrific, terrific whiskey. And that was the difference with that one was that we actually blended it and put it back to cask as a 40-year-old. Whereas normally we blend, we wait for the whiskies all to be of age and then we select them and blend them and create the blend, so we know what the final product is. So this was a slight difference one for the 50-year-old because we blended it at 40, put it back into cask with a view to marry it and further age it to 50. So by 2003, it was well over 50 years. But in 1993, when we put it back to cask, we didn't know what it was going to be like. Exactly in 2003. But, you know, because of everyone's experience in Chivas on casks and everything and everybody get together, we were pretty certain we were going to have a winner. And I think at the end of the day, we got 255 superlative bottles from that cask. And that was all.
When you do this process of blending, and as you said, this was the difference in this, where you actually blended them and then put them back in for 10 years, what difference does that make in the final product when you put them back together and then marry them for 10 years in a cask as opposed to blending and then going straight to bottle? What difference do you get in the final product?
It's not... I mean, what... The difference between 93 and 2003, that 10 years extra maturation from 40 to 50, it didn't do a huge amount because the cast we selected, we didn't want it to do a huge amount. We weren't trying to finish it. We had the product and we just wanted to maintain it. But what you did get over those 10 years was, you know, just a real, a little bit, you know, there was an intensifying of the flavors and it also a little bit more, you know, you just got a little extra, which you'd expect from 10 years, but didn't change it massively at all. And we weren't expecting it to.
No, that's what I was trying to ask in terms of giving those whiskies time to marry together and time to join together in flavors.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at a single malt at 40, and then it's still in the same cask, and you look at it at 50, there's not great differences at that time. You know, big differences come between malt and 10 and 10 and 20. So we're not expecting, and also the cask we used to marry them, we weren't, that was not a finishing cask. We weren't expecting huge changes. But I mean, you know, because it's nature, you can't take anything for granted. So we did monitor it. But I mean, what's the difference between you at 40 and 50? It's not a huge amount. You've learned quite a lot of things in that time. But I mean, your character isn't necessarily hugely changed. And that's probably the way. If you take myself at 40 and take myself at 50, there's not a huge difference in character and looks. Mind you, your hair goes grey and it falls out and all that, but you know what I mean? So I think like whiskey, you know, in humans, whiskey changes when it's maturing in cask. There's a lot of changes between 0 and 5, and then 5 and 10, and then 10 to 20, it's less, 20 to 30 less. So as you grow older, you're not getting the same influences and the same activity in the cask. So I think, you know, the flavors intensified, which is what we were expecting. They're also got an, you know, extra mellowness, which is ideal. They just became round, you know, got a beautiful deep roundness and depth of flavor and intensity. And there was a difference, but it wasn't chalk and cheese.
So you going to do anything special for your 25th anniversary as a master blender?
Not that I know of, no. Just carry on and enjoy what we're doing. It's just great. Working with these whiskies, Royal Salute, Chivas, Glenlivet, fantastic. It's been a total joy. And, you know, it's been an honor to work with the stable of whiskies we have at Chivas. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else, personally. I just feel very lucky that I am where I am. I've had the opportunity to be with Chivas Brothers all this time.
Colin has no plans to slow down anytime soon. He still has a lot of blending left to do. And that's this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth. Now, I've been fighting a nasty cold and sore throat that I picked up on the flight home from the Victoria Whiskey Festival this week. Just one of the drawbacks of flying. And that's kept me from doing any serious nosing this week, though the cold weather did have me doing a lot of dramming. But let's start off the What I'm Tasting This Week department with the whiskey from Richard Patterson and Chef Daniel Balud that I mentioned earlier. The Delmore, presented by Daniel Balud, is bottled at 44% ABV. The nose is fruity and intense with figs, raisins, blood oranges, a hint of mango, clove and allspice with a touch of oak. The taste is fruity and thick with notes of plums, figs, and raisins. Clove and allspice add a subtle balance along with hints of molasses and ginger. The finish is long, lingering, and fruity with a good balance and nice complexity. If Chef Balud ever decides to get out of the kitchen and into a blending lab full-time, watch out. I'm scoring the Delmore, presented by Daniel Balud, a 92. Now, Usquebaugh is the classic Gaelic name for whiskey and translates into the water of life. It's also the name for a range of blended Scotch whiskies from Cobalt Brands. Usquebaugh Old and Rare is actually blended for Cobalt by Douglas Lang & Company. It's bottled at 43% ABV. I tasted it during one of the master classes in Victoria. The nose has notes of honey, butterscotch, dried flowers, and vanilla. The taste is dark chocolate, clove, cardamom, black pepper, a hint of coffee, and ginger, with a good balance. The finish is long and spicy with clove, cardamom, and ginger, rich and aromatic. I'm scoring Usquebaugh Old and Rare an 87. And finally, last Sunday night's closing dinner in Victoria featured whiskies from the McAllen and Highland Park, including one Highland Park that I hadn't tasted before. Turns out there's a 10-year-old Highland Park that's only sold in Scandinavia and Canada. It's bottled at 40% ABV. The nose has hints of smoke and malt, nutmeg, oak, honey, vanilla, and hints of dried fruits. The taste is smoky with black pepper, honey, oak, and vanilla, and the finish is lingering and smoky. It's clearly a much smokier and peatier Highland Park than the older expressions, but really good for a cold night. I'm scoring the Highland Park 10-year-old an 86. I'm adding these tasting notes to the searchable list of more than 1,100 different whiskies at WhiskeyCast.com. That's also where you'll find links for WhiskeyCast HD and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings episodes, the latest whiskey news and the calendar of events, your voice, and a complete archive of past episodes. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at WhiskeyCast. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2014, and comes to you each week from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.